We do welcome you to this service. It is a moment of joy and commemoration, a beginning and an end all mixed together. The end of an academic program, the accomplishment that is represented by the conferring of degrees, but before us more than anything else is the horizon of what God will do through these graduates in the future. As human beings, we have a need to commemorate. That's why we're all dressed up. That's why we're here. That's why we've taken time out of a day in order to recognize that something of importance is taking place here. It's interesting how we as humans try to distill years into very important moments of recognition and remembrance. A 50th wedding anniversary, other great occasions where we come together and we say, we'll recognize 50 years in the distillation of a few moments. Well, this morning we are recognizing at least several years of study, distilled down to the moments we will spend here together as we recognize that something important has taken place here. We're here because something important has happened. And what has happened is that these graduates have completed their programs of study, and in completing those programs and in receiving these degrees, there is something worthy of our recognition. But we are also here because we understand that we are looking at something of a precipice. We're looking at something that is not only here, but something that is to come, and that is to come as the future represented by these graduates as we congratulate them and commemorate their accomplishments today. Now, the great challenge in a situation like this is knowing what in the world to say. I'm thankful that we are gathered here in a Christian institution because I would have much more concern about what to say in a secular environment. All over America, there are thousands of events just like this one being held. They all have a recognizable form. There are people in caps and gowns. There are people in their Sunday best gathered here to congratulate them. There is formality. There is music. If not pomp and circumstance, then the singing of something elegant and huge. And yet, in a secular context, what in the world do you say to graduates? You know, go ye therefore and make much money. Be happy. Make yourself famous. Build a great resume. Conquer the world. But always remember your alma mater. I think we could imagine what might be said if this were a military academy. If we knew that what we were doing here is preparing young persons to go to war, there would be a solemnity and there would be a sobriety and there would be a clear sense of mission to what we would say here. And yet, then again, we are sending these young people to war. If this were a medical school, we would have a pretty good idea of something that at least ought to be said, some reference to healing, some reference to ethics, some reference to a purpose to make a difference in lives. And even as this is not a medical school, we do recognize there is something very essentially right about looking to these graduates and saying, first, do no harm. Heal. Do not hurt. If this were a law school, we would say, go litigate. That's not our message. But at the same time, we would say, go do something of importance in your lives, in your marriages, in your families, in society, and in the church that will make a difference, and play by the right rules as you do so. To the Boyce College class of 2007, I want to say something different than that. And I've chosen a text which may be among the least expected for a commencement charge such as this. I would invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, we find the substance of what I want to share with and to the graduates today. Beginning in verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, I can imagine some of you are saying, what in the world is this charge all about? We waited 4 years to graduate, and he congratulates us by bringing up the Antichrist. This is not a remake of the Omen. This is a word of sober congratulations and exhortation to the graduating class of Boyce College of 2007. One of the interesting things to note about John's epistles here, John the beloved apostle, is the love and familiarity with which he addresses those to whom he writes. You'll notice the language here is very, very clear. He refers many times in his letters to the church, to the Christians to whom he writes, as paideia, little children. It is as if a parent here speaks to a child, an elder brother to younger siblings. He also speaks here using this very sweet word translated, beloved. What John writes here is based upon a relationship. John knows the ones to whom he writes. He speaks to them on the basis of that relationship, on the basis of the fact that he knows them and he has come to love them. In the very same way that as I speak to you this morning, I speak based upon a relationship. A relationship that has been forged through your years at Boyce College. A relationship with a school. A relationship with a faculty. A relationship with peers and colleagues and friends and fellow students. Children, it is the last hour. Now, those words were written 2,000 years ago. They were true then, and they are also ever more true today. Children, it is the last hour. You see, when all these others gather together in their own secular environments and say, go change the world, go seize the day, go make your millions and build your reputation and have fun and be happy, their horizon is the future that, so far as they are concerned, is merely open. We'll see what you will do. The future, you will hear it said, is what you will make of it. The Bible comes to us with a very different horizon of meaning and tells us that the time is not long, it is short. And that what we have before us is the knowledge that every single day brings us closer to the end. Children, it is the last hour. The first issue I would encourage upon you today, the first truth is that the time is short. It looks long. It feels long. We've all been where you are now, parents and those who are here to commemorate you of generations who have come before you will tell you we know what it's like for the future to look long. But it doesn't look long for long. And before you know it, you're going to be looking behind you. And you're going to be seeing your own children preparing to do what you do today. It doesn't seem possible, but I promise you it is true. And furthermore, the time is not as long as it appears because time is not just the unfolding of an accident. It is rather the unfolding of God's purposes. And His purposes have a conclusion. And that conclusion is near. I would encourage you as you graduate from Boyce College today, that you have on your minds the realization that the time is short. And the shortening of that horizon means that you will have to look at the world and you will have to look at the future and you will have to look at your ministry and your deployment for the glory of God in a different way than those who do not know Christ would ever conceive. The time is short. Second, the stakes are high. You'll notice that as John deals directly with the church on these matters, he turns immediately from the shortening of the time, this is the last hour, to the threats that are about. You have heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. Then in verse 19, we are told that they went out from us. There are those who have departed the faith. There are those who have forsaken the way of Christ. There are those who have abandoned the church. There are those who have renounced the gospel. And John here says of them that they were never really of us. They have demonstrated that by their departure, by their defection, by their apostasy. They went out from us because they never really were of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. They too would be looking at the shortness of time. They too would be realizing that in the shortness of time, the only priority that matters is the priority to glorify the living God in all things and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else must be seen in the light of that foreshortened future. The stakes are high. It was true when John wrote this letter that even as we know of the Antichrist that will come, there are those who already do his work. And that is certainly true in the 21st century as well. All you have to do is look at the newspaper or turn on the television or pass by neighborhoods to be reminded that there are those who have gone out from us because they were not with us. One of your key responsibilities in this generation is to define continually and consistently what authentic Christianity really is. Because false and artificial and counterfeit Christianities are being taught and proclaimed and represented all around you. Third, the truth is secure. John is absolutely confident of this when he writes to these little children in the faith, when he writes to these whom he loves, and when he warns them, he nonetheless wants them to know that the truth is secure. In verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. It's not unknowable. It's not a puzzle that's been hidden. I write to you, he says, because you do know the truth and because no lie is of the truth. The truth is secure, but one of the key responsibilities here that John encourages upon the church is discernment. Recognizing truth from error. And one of the most important parts of your education at Boyce College has been in a knowledge of authentic Christianity. And with that knowledge comes the ability to discern counterfeits. I would encourage you to make that one of the central themes of your lives. Knowing that the truth is secure because we worship the God of all truth. It is secure because He is the truth. It is secure because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Fourth, John writes to these Christians saying, your faith abides. In verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Psychologists tell us, with a background in educational psychology, that retention is the big question. How much did you retain? How many of you would like to take the SAT all over again? How many would have to take, or don't raise hands? The faculty might have to raise hands. How many of you would have to take a refresher course to go back to remember how to divide fractions? If you're not doing it all the time, the knowledge grows stale. John says, let this abide in you. Let the truth of Christ abide in you. That which you have heard from the beginning. I can speak on behalf of the faculty, and we hope there's a whole lot of knowledge that abides in you. And we hope that as you go, you're not merely taking a diploma, but rather you are demonstrating the earning of a degree, this knowledge having been incorporated into your lives. We would say, let this abide in you. We hope that this knowledge abides, but above all things, the knowledge, the truth that we pray abides in you is the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John says, above all things, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. You're going to be hearing a lot. At different points in your lives, especially at the serious junction point such as this, you're going to be hearing a lot of advice. You're going to be hearing a lot of it that is spoken to you personally, and you're going to be hearing a lot that is communicated to you by the culture saying, this is what you ought to do. These are the goals that ought to possess you. This is where you want to go. There will be messages directed at you saying, this is what you should believe. This is how you should think. But let this abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. One key issue for the faculty as we are commemorating this event and celebrating with you and with your families. One key issue for us is letting you go. I guarantee you that there is not one professor here who is satisfied with any course. There's always more. There's always another book that could be read, believe it or not. There's always another lecture that should be given. Because the sum total of what we should know is greater than what any educational program could ever encompass. That's why you are set today upon a pilgrimage of lifelong learning. But let me tell you, when you come to the end of your life, whether it be long or whether it be short, you're still going to know less rather than more. The grand total of what could be known about an infinite God is so much greater than what our minds can comprehend. But it is difficult to have you go, not just because there's more we would always want to teach you, but because we've grown to love you and to know you and to invest our hopes in you. No better word could I leave with you than that word which John left with his church. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray for these graduates. We pray knowing that the time is short, knowing that the stakes are high, knowing that your truth is indeed secure. Father, we pray that your truth will abide in them and that they will abide in you. We pray that they will abide in that which they heard from the beginning. We pray that they will be unmovable. At the same time, we pray that they will be deployed for maximum impact for your glory and your kingdom. Father, we pray for them and with them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.